What's the title of this thing? No title again?
And I did not live the little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Okay.
Okay, the stuff I tamper for my
just
house.
Just going to say goodbye to Michael.
All 750 square feet of it. And get that house ready for
that
sale.
That guy.
So that's the rest of the story that I didn't get into in the last episode. And to be...
The stuff he does.
There's no way I was going to.
And you're going to hear from me now.
So we'll wrap up this...
And it's like we're living on different planets.
With the rest of the story.
And by that I mean...
As I said, I'm heading back down.
God Wisconsin. Damn it. That man carries a load, and he does a lot. But I guess it's the wiring.
And literally, and hire a service pro or service master.
You know, he just does stuff. He's capable of doing stuff, but I think he's driven to do stuff as well. It's almost as if he thrives on... work? I don't know, and I don't mean that in any insulting way. My God, no. It's just the way I thrive on laziness. Except it's the opposite. Anyway, oh boy. This is Dixon Jane's podcast number 702. And the date is September 27th, 2018. It's about 1:30 in the afternoon. In Washington, D.C., the hearings are going on Judge Kavanaugh, whether he should be... allowed to get into the Supreme Court after hearing from a very credible witness who claims he physically groped her and, you know, put her through a great deal of trauma and stress and very ungentlemanlike behavior, suggesting, as were a few other women, that he's really not fit to be a Supreme Court justice. And, of course, the Republicans are trying to make it sound it's just slander, try and prove she's not a credible witness, etc., etc. She didn't remember enough. Anyway, it's a circus, and I certainly believe her and feel for her. She's doing this out of a sense of civic duty. The tragedy is, in America today, what's that worth? What's your honor and your integrity worth? Anyway, I don't want to get into that right now. I was going to start with an apology for, I guess, the last several episodes. I just seem to be racing through stuff, jumping from one thing to another. Now, my original formula was to talk, put in a tune, talk, put in a tune, talk, put in a tune, you know, at least two or three songs for every episode to break up my monologue. And when I'm traveling, I don't have access to my music. And... especially, you know, the trips, my Newfoundland road trip. I'd be in a different place, different mood each time I recorded. And it just sort of jumped from one to the other. I found it quite jarring, listening back. Confusing. There's only a couple of things of value. And I think the one I would like to repeat is the observation I had about not being able to thank God any longer for all the blessings in my life. But thanking humanity, you know, for that piece of bread I can get in my hand anytime I want. And then just today, I'm reading a book called Origins. Now, here I go, seemingly to divert off topic, but I'm not really. It's all connected. Origins by Dan Brown. You know him. And, yeah. It's a great escape. But making you think maybe even on the molecular, biological, DNA level, I should say, that maybe that's where the thank goes, the thank you should goes. And if you get down to that level of this life force that just continues to replicate itself and change with every new instance, maybe that's almost a form of God. It's a hard thing to think. But it is seems to be a life force that drives us. But anyway, let's park that. I have a bit of a cold, so I'm back lying in the road track. I've given up on the hearings. I already made up my mind. She's a credible witness. And if... hang on. Is that Yuki? Yes, Yuki. Okay. She loves the road trek. She loves coming in, so... Let me open the door. I love the fact that she finds me. She knows when I'm in here. Come on, Yuki. Come on. No, I'm not going to get out and roll your belly on the driveway. That's what she wants. She's rolling over and over. See, there is my squirrel thing that just throws me off track. It's whatever is in the present is what you get. Oh, I can't resist. I got to step out and roll her. She loves the sunshine. She's a real outdoor cat. Like, she's out all night, as I've said many times, and get up in the morning, and there she is on her chair, happy to come in, have some breakfast, and say, all right, let me out again. Yuki, I'm going to stay in the road trek, so I'm not going to stand here and roll your... Oh, you know, they just roll over and over and over. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Oh, how I love this cat. What another blessing in my life. All right, no, Yuki, I'm going in. Come on. Sorry for the... Tom, you're going to really hate this, the heavy breathing because of the cold and the weird noises I'm making. Come on, Yuki, get inside. I'm going to leave the door open for her. Yeah... I wanted to stay focused, and you can see that might not be possible. In fact, I had things to talk about. Oh, yeah. One of the thoughts was with regards to this road trek. I don't know how much I really conveyed about how enjoyable those 3 days Cambridge-Waterloo were at the Road Trek Academy. I talked a little bit about it, so there's probably not much more to say, but I'm going to try, and I've got a brace maybe that should be replaced or repaired on my generator, and I need the oil changed, and I wrote to the factory saying, come on, can you fit me in sometime? The point was, I really wish I'd started a separate podcast just on my relationship with the road trek with Sal, because it grows, it changes. I'm just more and more comfortable, and our 2-year anniversary is coming up, and I think, well, maybe I could use that as a starting point. But it's, you don't want to start something 2 years into it, do you? Okay, Yuki's in. Close the door. Ooh, let's go. Come on. No, we're going to the back. Back. Come on, Yuki. You don't want to start something that's already been going on for all that time. And, so, yesterday, or I guess as a result of this time spent at the Road Trek Factory, you know, I'm feeling more, you know, informed, better, more capable maybe of some things, although I'm still not going to winterize it myself. I'm going to take it to Forest City in London. Excuse me. One of the things I wanted to get working was the TV. Because I mentioned I was thinking of canceling our cable service. Oh, shit, that's what I'm supposed to do today. Got on the fucking phone with Rogers and say, hey, I'm paying too much. Almost $400 a month is ridiculous for 2 phones, internet, and TV. It's nuts. And I just don't have the money coming in. Which is the point I'm going to get back to. Anyway, I thought, well, you know, it'd be neat if I could watch TV on the little Philips TV here that is already installed in the road trek. And it's a very neat aerial, and it's got a special wave. You crank it way up. It goes quite high, and you can rotate it with this dial inside the roof. And, yeah, Yuki. Oh, come on. Come on, Yuki. Come here. I'm not going to let you out. You want out again? I just got started here. Sorry, that's not my fault. That's Yuki's fault. So, all right, don't ask in again. So, there's a lot of buttons. There's an A and a B switch. You know, is it on? Is it off? There's a cell booster. An aerial booster button. And then you've got to get this aerial crank up to its full height and then point it in the right direction. So I did all that, and there was a very great a series of articles called Merrill and Me on road treks that anybody who was a new road trek, especially a Chevy owner, it's a Bible, and the previous owner printed them all off, so I've got copies of everything, and there was one on just using your TV. Great. I went through those instructions. I did absolutely everything it said, and I tried, okay, if this is not the A button, all right, push it in, then that's got to be the B or the A, whatever, you know. You try every possible combination, and then turning that aerial here and here, and then it scans for channels, digital and analog. And no matter how many times I tried and reset and started over with the various combinations, it came up zero. So I figured, okay, I'll try. Yuki, what do you want? I don't know what's going on here. There was another, I'm sorry, I mean, this is exactly what I promised not to do, but I have no control over this. I got a cat to look after. I got stuff going on in my life. Anyway, where were we? The TV, Merrill and Me, reading those instructions. So I went back online, figured, okay, I'm done with the printed version. Go back online, read through the comments. Maybe somebody had a similar problem, because I was going to pose the question, you know, it's not working. And they're going to tell you, did you do everything Merrill told you? And yeah. So check the comments, that's always helpful. And I scroll down, and these comments are going back 5 years, 4 or 5 years. And one of them says, with the new digital channels, sometimes you get better reception without the aerial. And bam, the light goes on. I haven't tried it without the aerial raised. Let's do that. And sure enough, bing, 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 9 channels come up. So I now have a working TV. You don't get all the channels. You get TVO and CTV and City TV and CBC. So I get enough. Of course, you don't get specialty channels. But problem solved. I felt great, but only from tracking down that bloody little one comment somebody posted 5 years ago. Jesus. How are you going to know these things? Anyway, when we're going through the road track and I'm asking, you know, the mechanic, because we have a mechanic assigned to you. I got Carl, a really nice guy. I say, okay, well, let's just even do the basics. Let's lift the hood up and just show me everything I should be checking. And he did that and stuff I didn't know about. And I asked him the question because I'd heard other. But you see, in the road track field, there are some people who are just into it. Geeks in their own way. Nerds, maybe. I don't know. It's not even an appropriate term. But auto fanatics. People who like doing things. And they carry spare serpentine belts. In case you're stranded somewhere and you don't brakes and you don't have one. And of course, they could put it on themselves, which I couldn't do. So I asked him, do I need to carry them? He said, well, you know, it's a GM. They're pretty common. You can if you want, but you don't really need to. Then I said, well, what about the fuses? You know, you got these neat little, you got a fuse panel here for all the various things. Here, I'll open it up now. You got them. Oh, Jesus. For, you know, for your sewage discharge pump, your water pump, your LP gas detector, your CO detector, your fridge, water heater, furnace, heat pump, antenna, amplifier. That's a 15 amp. Various lights, patio lights outside, cab light, roof lights, roof vent fans. Oh, that's an important one. Anyway, each one of those has a different amperage. You got 20 amps, 10 amps, 1 amp, and 15 amps. So, I've never had a fuse go in the 2 years. But the kid in me, number one, they're colorful, bright plastic. And I'm a sucker for plastic that's bright and colorful. I want them. I want them. They look neat. So, I go into Canadian Tire and I finally found the fuse section. And sure enough, it's all kinds of fuses. I get the right size. Then I see a package. You can buy the package. Oh, a cluster of them. But they got 30 amp, which I don't need. They have 15, they have 7.5 amp, which I don't need. They got 3 amp, which I don't need. They don't have 1 amp, which I do need. So instead, I buy 4 sets, 1, 10, 15, 20, coming to about $25. Now, chances are I will never use them. I'm on this kick of saying, like the TV, I've got to save money. I'm not getting no more. I'm not teaching anymore. There's no money coming in. I can't be spending money. I mean, here I go, spending $25. Well, the justification is, well, that's because I've got these Canadian Tire cards worth $20, $50, here $25, $50. It's not real money. Now, the thing is, they could be used at Mark's Warehouse. I need a pair of pants. I could use those cards. Instead, I buy these fuses just because I simply want to have them. I want them to make me feel, hey, I could change a fuse if I had to. If a fuse went out, I could do it. Maybe I could even help another road trekker for a camping and I met one and they lost a fuse. I could say, well, don't worry, I got spare fuses. It's kind of shallow, right? It's really kind of silly. And I really struggled with whether or not I should buy them. Now, I did. I've got them. And for some reason, I felt the need to tell you this story. Now, I'm not sure why. What was the purpose? Anyway, I wanted to go camping. We're still on road treks now. And, gee, a friend just posted up in Sandbanks, so that'd be neat. Like, go there. I haven't been for a while. Late in the season, it's easier to get a place. And then just today, through Twitter, through email, through somehow, I found out, wow, there's a race going on at Jukasa Motor Speedway. Can't remember the name it used to be. Anyway, I've never been. It's way past Hamilton. It's in, I don't even know where the fuck it is. Small town, Ontario. They got a race going on this weekend, and they got camping. And I'm figuring, wow, that sounds pretty good. So I think what I'm going to do is go camping tomorrow. Jukasa Speedway in, oh, here we are, Hagersville, Ontario. Hagersville. Road 20, Hagersville. Anyway, that's a treat. Remember how much I enjoyed Mossport? So here we go. Probably this will be the theme of this podcast. I guess I'll record when I'm there. If you go on the Friday, for an extra $5, you get a concert, a live band. And it looked like a great band out of Hamilton with a lot of brass instruments. Can't remember their name. I did tweet about it, if you care. Follow me on Twitter, follow me on Facebook. And so I think that's what I'm going to do. Never mind the cold, what the hell. It doesn't make any difference. I'm here or there. And what a perfect opportunity. It's once again, yeah, it's sort of going camping. All the ones with the hookup and electric plug-in and everything else are booked, sold out. And I don't really need that anyway. So I'm going to go Friday, come back Sunday, and then Sunday night pick up my friend Chris, who's here from Australia. And carry on through the week. So lots going on. And it seems it's impossible for me to stop podcasting. I had thought at one point, well, why don't you just do a clip and put it out? Even if you put out a few a week, they'd just be short ones. Like, this would be a clip. This would be the end. Why put it together in a one-hour segment? And I don't really know the answer to that. It's just that I like the idea of I'm going to play this and then I'm going to put some music in and then you'll hear me again from another place. And I guess I'm just going to stick with the original formula, 1 hour podcast with musical interludes. Oh my God, what the hell was that? This is, yeah, things are going crazy here. Is somebody yelling from a car or what? I don't know. So much for coherence. For focus. I did my best. Oh, one last thing. My God, yeah. Talking about deteriorating brains. I went into deja vu. I saw Robbie Robertson. I think I mentioned that, the Last Waltz, the great check on Deja Vu. That's smart. Yeah, they got a copy in Scarborough. Drive in and get it. Go through the music things. I forget, okay, I got that. It's only $9, $8, whatever. And then I see a DVD, which I'm in my mind is Help. And I really want to see Help. I love Help. I haven't. You don't see them. They play Hard Day's Night all the time on TV. You never get to see Help. So it's on. Come on back, Yuki. It's there. It's in my hands. And they show the songs. I go up to the guy. I said, is this the movie, or is it just like, I don't want one of these things, just interviews? No, yeah, it's a movie. And I'm reading the title, and I'm convinced that in my hand I'm holding Help, H-E-L-P exclamation mark. A movie I haven't seen for ages, and I like the songs. It was fun. It was in color. I don't want to see A Hard Day's Night again. I've just seen this so many damn times. I buy it. I'm thrilled. I start driving home. And then my brain kicks in and says, Ken, you know what you just did? You just bought A Hard Day's Night. And I was so excited about finding Help that that's all I saw. Even though I read, more than once, I read A Hard Day's Night. In my mind, I interpret that to be the movie Help, the movie I wanted to see. And before I got home, I just turned around, went right back to Deja Vu, walked in, said, I've just had a very scary seniors moment. I bought this A Hard Day's Night thinking I was buying Help. Eh, no problem. Happens to me. Bam, issues me cash refund, even though I played on credit card. That was so nice of him to do that. And I see the humor in it now. I don't know how you'll react. Oh, my God, Ken, you should be scared. Because I've been talking about this with my men's group, about signs of aging, you know, going into a room and forgetting why you're in that room. And I'm saying, it's common. Hey. So I shared this story, saying, no, you want to think somebody should be worrying. It should be me. Because I clearly read this and yet interpreted in a completely different way from what it was. Anyway, that's all. Ending on that note, gone on an extra couple of minutes, but what the hell. Scarborough Dude, signing off. Check. I could get up, open the door, reach in, ring the bell. I will skip that. I'm sitting right beside the road track in my very, very comfortable road track chair that we were given at the Owner's Academy. I'm very proud of it. It's actually quite comfortable. It's got a little more support. It's bigger, but it holds, the back stays up straight, and it's good. I'm sitting in the sunshine and gazing out in an open field that's huge. This is Jukasa Speedway. Well, I mentioned that anyway, I think, where I was going. This is where I am. It is Saturday, September 29th, 2018, and this is the day of NASCAR Pinty's Series, in brackets, Pinty's Fall Brawl, and Unlimited Late Models. I've got a reserved seating for the grandstand. It costs $35. But I was able to get an outside seat. I understand the grandstand seats are not very comfortable. But I got an aisle seat, and that was $35 for that and $70 for getting in, for the camping. And that's without hookups. Basically, like I said, it's an open field. But it's nice. I've got a lot of space around me. I'm parked between giant Winnebago-sized vehicles. I was talking to the owners of a couple on my right. We've just had them recently, but they've had RVs before then. And actually, one of them is traveling with a driver who was very active on this circuit and many others in Canada 20 years ago. And raced with all the greats at the time. The streets here, they're called streets, a little laneways you drive down, are named after the drivers. I can't remember nine now. I was going to go take a picture of it, but not important. So anyway, the races, they don't start till noon or so. And this is so different from all sport. I mean, if you had to rate the two, Mulsport would get like a 9.5 out of 10, I guess. And, I was ready to give this place a 4 last night. I'd move it up to a 5. Just in terms of the basics, I guess. I mean, it's an oval track to start with. Grandstand seating. I was thinking I could just park my vehicle and bring a chair up like you do at Mulsport to your favorite corner. And you got your beer with you and everything else, but no, this way you enter the grandstand. I guess if you want beer, you buy their beer. But there really no complaints. Last night was the concert by a band whose name I can't remember. I could put it in the show notes if I kept show notes. From Hamilton, a 9-piece band, which was great with a lot of brass. And they really nailed it. They were good. I stayed for I left during the third set, probably. And the music in between sets was fantastic. And I had a couple of toasts. At one point, I was just sitting on a picnic bench in good viewing distance from the band and just light up a second half of a joint I had going. Nobody seemed to care. Somebody came and gave out free pizza. Suddenly there's boxes of pizza appearing. And I hadn't been talking to anybody. A couple of people greeted me. I mean, there were a lot of drunks. Or happy people, I should say, rather than drunks. I mean, these are people just wanting to get up on the dance floor and get another Coors Light or Labatt's Blue. Was it? Well, I wonder whether was it Labatt's or was it just a Molson event? Probably Molson event. Yeah, Canadian and Coors. Anyway, no wine, which just surprised the hell out of me. You know, I asked at the bar, what kind of wine you got? Or do you have wine? Nope. So it was hard liquor, so people drinking shots, and then NASCAR style beer, but that's fine. It was well worth the concert, and then back here to my just cozy little spot. I am just so happy I came up with this plan, and it was a last minute thing. I wanted to go camping. Well, where to go? And Chris is coming Sunday night, and then hey, there's a race at Jukasa, 2 hours away. And here I am. So I'm excited. And I got that same feeling last night that, yeah, this is the kind of freedom that I bought this road trek for. Just to be able to, you know, told Nelka, well, there's a race this weekend. I'll be back Sunday afternoon. Good. Have a good time, you know. So that's a degree of freedom that I celebrate. And I realized that last night as I reflected after my talk that freedom has always been of utmost importance to me, and I've done a pretty good job in my life of keeping myself free of too many constraints. I think the most miserable period I went through was when I felt desperate for work, that I worked for that company, stupid and grade expectations, disgusting, and I just felt, oof, I'd sold my soul to get there. But anyway, that didn't last too long, and I'm out of it. And teaching afterwards at the college was great. And again, part-time with teaching the courses I wanted. So anyway. Tom, you're forgiven. Tom texted me last night, having just heard my last podcast, when I said it was him who almost made me quit. I mean, I was trying to pin the blame on him. I wanted him to feel bad. I dearly love my good Windsor friends, and I look forward to the next trip down there. That's always interesting, just trying to keep up with their life stories. My God, I'm talking about Shane and Tom. And it's another just piece of richness in my life, you know, the people you meet and hang out with and feel intimate with, feel connected to. And that's why last night I didn't feel the need to talk to anybody. I sat there by myself in a very happy space. I zoned out a couple of times. I just so lost in thought of images and things in my mind. I went through a guilty period of a lot of the bad things I've done in my life. And I just suddenly I just pulled myself, my God, where have you been? You're almost like I was in a trance. And I thought, oh, is that another sign of, you know, a deteriorating brain? And it really wasn't. I was just deep in thought and reflection. And that's another reason I value the freedom and to travel alone, because you have to rely on yourself and keep yourself good company. I reflected a lot about my marriage, about my children, about this book that I don't seem capable of writing. I just keep coming up with new ideas that, okay, that's a good, you know, looking for the framework. I guess last night's conclusion was, wait a minute, I value so highly the Zen approach of everything should be effortless, yes, easy, it should be natural, it should be flowing. And if there's a problem, if it's just a problem for me to sit down and physically write and organize my thoughts, it's not a problem with grammar for sure. It's what to tell and how to tell it and so on. And, you know, I've got yet another start, probably my 50th, my 100th at least. But last night's feeling was it shouldn't be this way, that maybe the fact that I'm doing this podcast so effortlessly, is the only way to go. And maybe this is my story, you know. And I don't dig enough into the past. I talked about, you know, people said, oh yeah, we've heard your Prince George stories. Well, I've told a lot of the stories that were important to me, even though new little pieces keep coming up. But anyway, we'll park that again. There's also this need. There isn't the need to write, but there is a need to talk to you, to tell this story. And when I say talk to you, I'm not entirely sure what that means, because I'm really not sure, although Tom claims he's a loyal listener and loves hearing the background sound effects of the birds and, you know, and so on. So again, thanks, Tom. You more than made up for the teasing that you did, and it was just teasing. And mostly what he says, he does it to bug Shane, because Shane won't listen, and Shane doesn't like my voice, my name coming up on the podcast all the time on his podcast. Shane has a bigger ego than I do, or maybe it rivals mine, I don't know. So, yeah, it's all good fun. I said earlier that I'm going to try to remain a little more focused. So, yeah, focused about what? I am halfway through, or more than halfway through already, Dan Brown's author of The Da Vinci Code, Origin. And I really am enjoying it. His characters are so two-dimensional, you know, like in the James Bond novel. But he is a great storyteller. And this one about, you know, where are we from and where are we going? That's the theme of the novel. It's very well done. It's very current. And I was thinking I really should get a copy, maybe for both of my sons, if I could get them to read. There are a lot of clouds in the sky. We woke up to the beautiful sunshine. I slept right through till about 8, or after 8, which was lovely. And the sky was just cloudless. Now there are a lot of big, fluffy clouds. Couldn't give you the technical name for them. Hanging about, and occasionally they move in to block the sun, and then suddenly, ooh, it's cool, the breeze, and then it's open. I hear a cow. There's a word for that. What's the word they do? Not mewing, that's a cat. Not mooing, because that's the sound they make, but there is a verb for the sound a cow makes. Maybe you're shouting it at me right now. It's not bellowing. Cow.
one is a cow. Anyway, we won't spend too much time trying to think of that on live podcasting, because it is live. It's all the Dixon Chain Show has always been live. It is the here and the now, and I love it, and I just can't seem to give it up. And so I probably won't. Anyway, maybe I'll keep this short. I don't really have a particular point to make other than I'm looking forward to the races. But damn it, I better get an extra layer or two on and make another thermos of coffee. And because I'm looking at where the track is now. I mean, I'm staring at it. It's not that far. I couldn't measure in yards. You know, if somebody said, what, 300 yards? I don't know. A mile? No. Half a mile? No. Quarter mile? Maybe. What's that in metric? Anyway. It's not that far to the gates, but it is if you forget something and you want to go back and get it and then turn around and walk all the way back again. But hey, not to worry. So I'm just glad. I guess that's all I wanted to make. The point was, here I am at Jukasa, a new place, and it was that little bit of just push yourself a little bit, man. Hey, here's an idea. Here's something new. Here's something different. Just do it. Just do it. This is another message. I don't know if Shane Burley still listens, the other Shane. He's planning a trip east, and he's trying to somehow justify it while his wife heads off to Australia. And he's sort of thinking the places he could go, the people he could meet. And I sent him a quote from this book I was reading, and it just fit perfectly, because I was saying, you know, I told him, I don't plan anything, I'll just do it. And the quote was, man plans and God laughs. And that's a beautiful one. Man plans and God laughs. Now, if you don't believe in a God, you can throw in some other term. And life laughs. That could work. So, there you go. If you're going to do it, just fucking do it. Make up your mind. Don't dilly-dally. Don't plan, don't, well, no, I take that back, because you have to have a feeling of confirmation, you have to have a feeling inside of rightness, and it comes with strength, and it comes with just knowing, yes, and I still, this is the mantra, I still do this when I get out in this vehicle, and it might be half an hour into driving, and suddenly I'm gripping the wheel, and I'm saying, yes, yes. In sometimes much louder than that, or in a stranger voice, but I'm seeing that as an affirmation. Yes, this is what I want to do. This is it. All right, it looks like people are heading off to the tracks now, heading in. I see a whole group. My God, they got parkas and hoods and everything. Jesus Christ. I better dress up. All right. Yeah. So, Scarborough Dude signing off. Maybe I'll bring this with me just in case I want to let you hear some of the car noises like before. Scarborough Dude, signing off.
Starting in the 10th spot out of Windsor, Ontario, aboard car number 03, it's Randy Morneau in the Great Lakes Concrete Chevrolet, and his inside out of Peterborough in the Cooper Glass. Car number 27, Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace, 27. Starting 8th out of Oakville, the Speedy Auto Service 55, that'll be Larry Jackson. And going from 7th to Mary in the 8th. That's Rick Spencer. Ford Fusion, the 9 is Brandon Watson. His inside, starting in 5th at a Chesley, Ontario, the MEI Paving Toyota Camry, number 17, Josh Stoddy, and starting in 4th out of Kitchener, the Lake Huron Rod and Gun Chevrolet SS, the 24, Nick Getz. Starting 3rd at a Sutton Beach, Ontario, the McRobert Fuels Ford Fusion, number 81 is Andrew Gressel, and going from the 2nd spot at a Brampton in the Michaels Ford Fusion, the 46 is Billy Sardo, and going from the pole out of Barrie, Ontario, Draft Waste Connection of Canada, Buick. Car number 10, that is Gord Shepherd. 18 cars ready to do battle here on this 5/8 mile. Shepherd and Sardo on the front row. Brandon Watson back there starting at 60. Was the fast time driver in Group 6. Should be a good battle at the front, as we saw lap times very similar all afternoon, both practice sessions and in group qualifying. Ready to come to the green flag. The Pinty's Fall Brawl 50 starts in quarter 4. Up off the high side, though, comes Billy Zardo. Zardo grabs the advantage down the back stretch, but wrestled down to position number 2. Door to door for the second spot. No Shepherd, definitely with problems on the 10th. Zardo leads over Wrestle and Scotty back there in third. Jackson in fourth, fifth right now is Spencer. And Norton Shepherd continues to drop through the field now. Second to the inside of the 80 foot wrestle was Josh Stoddy for second. Stoddy in the 17 draws him alongside. He'll make the pass at 3 and 4. It's with Stoddy.
Just shut the generator off here and turn off this light, which I forgot and left on all evening. Here we are. I'm in the dark now. Back my road trek. Oh, the lights are still on at the track. The race is over. I cheered for Alex Tagliani, but he did not have a good night. And I had a few issues, and he just didn't make it. He was only 4 points behind the leader for the season championship. And if he had done well tonight, he might have taken the championship, but he did not. Anyway, it was a good race. It is not, if you ask me which I like better, oval track or road racing, of course the answer is road racing anytime. But it is exciting when these guys, when there's like a car spins out and they have to run under caution flag, and they all bunch up again and then take off when that flag waves them on again. And you see them just top speed, side by side, maybe 3 or 4 stuck together, just screaming around these corners. It's pretty exciting. Now, there are a lot of restarts. I found the restarts are much too long, like they'd have a truck in front. And sometimes it was a 200-lap race, but sometimes you'd see it'd be 3 or 4 laps before the truck would get off the track and let the start up again. And it came right down to the last 5 laps were on a restart. But, yeah, it was exciting. It was fun. It was well worth it. It cost me, I think, $105 for the weekend. $5 was they gave me a free pass for the concert last night. $30, I think, was admission. Maybe $35, that's right, for a reserve seat in the stands. And I'm glad I did that. I asked for a seat on the end, and so I didn't have anybody sitting directly beside me. And I was smart enough to go back to my van and take one of the cushions off the front seats to have something a little better to sit on. I saw a lot of people had these folding little chairs at 4 grandstands, but with a back. If I'm going to do a lot more of this in grandstands, that would be a nice thing to have, a little backrest. But anyway, it was fun, and I had a bottle of, No Boats on Sunday cider in my water bottle, so I could drink that. And I brought snacks along. And the most exciting part was when they lined up all the cars for the big race, for the NASCAR race, They let everybody out onto the track to go, and it was an autograph session for about a half an hour. You could go up to each car and every driver, and so a lot of kids were out there getting them. I only asked for one, and I got a very quick initials on a page for Alex Tagliani. He's the one. He's not one of the younger drivers here. But it's a good series. It's lots of fun. And that element of just, you know, letting the fans onto the track and talking to every driver, I think that's just brilliant. That's great. And so very much enjoyed that part of it. I guess that'd be a highlight. excuse me. I'll leave, head for home tomorrow. I might stop in Hagersville and check it out, little small town, the closest small town to this place, on the way home. We'll see, but I just wanted to sort of close off this part. Now, I brought my recorder with me. The one thing I forgot were my spare batteries. I always have them in my little case, and I bought new batteries, and it seems I left them at home. But I've got new ones in now, so we're okay. But it died just before the start of the race, and I really wanted that startup sound. And the announcer was announcing all the names of the drivers and then something about them, and maybe would ask them a question. So that would have been cool. The weirdest thing was before the race, of course, they got both national anthems, and a country singer sang them both. But before that, they asked everybody to stand up and take their hats off so somebody could give a Christian prayer for God to look after everybody, to thank us, to give thanks for this beautiful day that God has given us. And please, God, look out for everybody. And I was shocked. I thought, gee, are we going backwards? Like, why is that? And I imagine the majority of people there were probably believers or don't think about it at all. But it does make you feel sometimes, oh, atheists would not be very popular in this kind of a setting. And it's funny because it's exactly the topic I'm reading about in Origin, and you know, something that's current, as I listen to podcasts, as you know, secular jihadists and so on. I found it shocking. Why are we having a prayer? Why are we talking about God and Jesus before a car race? And why is it assumed that everybody there would be Christian? And chances are, you know, 90% of the people would be at least, would have been at least born into that faith, maybe higher than 90, maybe 95%. anyway, I just found that a little disturbing. So I guess I'll leave it there. It's been a great, great weekend. I've read a lot. I've enjoyed the sunshine. I've enjoyed cooking my meals. I made the little steaks tonight. The fish, salmon last night. I just love the comfort and convenience of this little road trek. Now, I did talk to the boys beside me, and they had two great big, huge Winnebago-style motorhomes. Like, we're talking huge. with everything, you know, and the sides bulging out. One of those was just almost 10 years old, but it looked brand new. It looked like it was from the showroom. I don't know how enamored they were with them. They were pretty interested in the one I had. Turns out the wives of neither of those guys want to travel, even in a vehicle that big and, you know, supposedly comfortable. Anyway, just, you know, I do interact with people when it's, I mean, I was the one who went over and initiated the conversation when I want to. But boy, do I ever love the quiet time to myself. So that may seem like a contradiction when I'm sitting here talking to you, but you know how it is. I'm alone in my vehicle right now at night in the dark, looking out at the track, watching cars leave, and it's pleasant, and I'm going to get into all snugly in my sleeping bag and read another few chapters of my book. And then tomorrow, coffee, and then who knows? Sorry. Mascara Dude. Signing out, and without the bell. You don't need that. Bye for now.
Okay, you're going to have a little music in the background. I just picked this up today. It's Yo-Yo Ma. I think it was a movie, some of it. That was from a movie, maybe? Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon? I don't know why I'm thinking that, but maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. It was given to me by the wife and daughter of my friend Tony, who died of prostate cancer a while back. I'm glad to see the University of Toronto East Asian Studies Library is holding a special commemoration for him also. Because of his work within the Chinese community, he put out one of the first Chinese newsletter for Chinese, you know, activists, maybe people interested in issues, political thing about being what it was to be a Chinese Canadian. This is the man I enjoyed, I met through my church and then enjoyed going to visit just to talk, take a little walk, and then just gradually the cancer weakened him to the point where he couldn't leave his bed and finally passed. But I guess I wanted to honor him. There was a beautiful service for him at our church, and they played some of this music. I don't know that it was this particular song, but I was so taken with it. I asked, you know, where I could get this, and they made a copy for me. So that was one of the things on the list to do today. The other was finish off this podcast that I started at Jukasa. And we'll probably call Jukasa, and I'm just a little disturbed that this might seem like I've just tagged something onto the end, and rather than keep things to an hour, I really should keep the podcast to a topic or a theme or, you know, some sort of holistic consistency of this is what we talked about, and instead I don't do it that way, and you're getting a piece on the end that has nothing to do with the racetrack, other than to say once again how much I enjoyed that whole thrill of going to an undiscovered place for me. It is a theme that I talked about a lot these past few days, and the reason why is I've had a visitor, my good friend Chris from Melbourne. We're celebrating our 40th year of friendship. In fact, this probably, well, it goes back. We trace it back. We know exactly who and when. A camping trip. His girlfriend was a British nanny. We had met her through other members in our little Vancouver tribe. And she brought him in, and instantly we were all friends, and he likes to party, we like to party, and that was enough. And we've celebrated the friendship ever since then. I've seen him in Japan, I've seen him in Australia, I've seen him in Canada, Vancouver. He went to Ryerson, got his journalism program, got a job in Australia writing for, the travel books, Lonely Planet. And went on from there, number of jobs. And he's the man my son visited and moved in with for a short time when he was in, when my son decided to go to Melbourne, number one son. And Chris was very impressed. Within a two-week period, my son had three job offers and an apartment. But meanwhile, I was staying at their place and cooking them supper every night. They were very impressed and made me very proud as a dad. And this past 3 days, as he's been staying with us, he got to meet my number two son a little better. Sitting around the dinner table, my wife, of course, as always,
through on a feast last night, barbecued meat, but, you know, spicy tofu and salads and just any number of things, a special rice dish. And of course, we went through a couple of bottles of wine and beer before that and scotch after that. And the bottle of scotch Chris bought me in honor of my 70th. So I have two bottles of scotch for my 70th. That's quite nice. Even though I'm not a big scotch drinker, it's the kind of thing that's nice to share with people. And share we did. He was here for three nights. On two of those nights, I did not get up to bed till after 3:30 in the morning. So that's the kind of friendship it's been. His wife claims that he's a bad example, and I emphasized that I agreed with his wife. He's a very bad example. He does like a toke. He does like a drink. And, you know, he didn't have to do too much to convince me to come along for the ride. So, again, there we go. This is what makes my podcast a bit squishy, that, you know, what's that got to do with Jukasa? Well, just the timing was great. I had that weekend. I guess, yeah, speaking of timing, tomorrow's the day I would have had to have driven to Lowell, Massachusetts to get in on the pub crawl and the celebrations of, you know, Kerouac. And I think I finally reached the point of accepting that, no, I'm not going. And it really has been touch and go. I was thinking if I dropped him off today, which I did at 1:30 for a train haul, he's going to Hamilton, then to Montreal. If I dropped him off, I could drive to Kingston this afternoon and then get a head start and get the Lowell in time for the pub crawl starting at 5. And then my son threw another curveball at us and said, look, there's a Japanese couple who are walking across Canada. I believe they've walked already a lot of kilometers, and they needed a place to stay in Toronto. My son said we should, and I sort of fired back in my conservative way. Well, I don't know. I was thinking I might be going to Lowell. Well, hang on. I mean, your mom has to be in on this, and I was put up the initial roadblocks, hesitation, not saying no, but he's certainly not going to say yes right now. And he got a little more persistent and pushed a little harder and said, it'll be your loss if you don't. And it took me last night, the evening, during the course of the evening, until about 2 in the morning, to text back to my son and say, we would be honored to host these people. So that's going to be in the next podcast. That's something you can look forward to. Another little piece that came up last night, and it's, I'm just throwing little darts out at you right now because I'm just filling up 10 minutes, and but I do want to, you know, I can't capture everything about how wonderful this time was with Chris, of reconnecting and sharing and celebrating the depth, the intensity, the warmth of our friendship. You know, it was special. We did get out on the Danforth. I did get him to the Eaton House again. We were the only two customers, and it paralleled exactly what had happened with Bruce, I guess, 2 months previous, or month and a half, I don't know, when we went in, sat at the bar, talked to the bartender, because there was nobody else in the bar. And it's sad that it's come to that, but I knew he would dig this place, and he did, and we had a great time, especially after it took. Okay, so where was I going with that? What's up ahead? Yeah, so last night we ended up in my basement bar, which finally is, you know, making better use of it, because that's where we put him up, and may put up our two Japanese guests if they do stay with us. So I got out vinyl, and it was hit and miss. You know, I'd be put on something. Gee, that was great. Dr. John, we started off with, and a few other things. But then I came across an album by Love. And I don't know if I mentioned, maybe not, that I volunteered to take on that, covering that album on this wonderful project that our other other Jason is doing on the top 100 albums. I'm very impressed, and I'll save what I'm going to say until I'm actually recording on his show. But great idea. I'm thrilled to do Love. But I felt obliged. Hey, if I've got another album, and I'm going to be talking about Forever Changes, I better hear what's going on this one. And sure enough, it was a real, almost an experimental double album of, you know, some stuff is sort of, it was hit and miss. Some stuff you like, some stuff, you know, a drum solo much too long and boring, except for small parts. But one song, finally at the end, that actually connected to Forever Changes, that could have been on that album. It was very much in that vein of music, of the sounds, the lyrics, the instrumentation, the singing, the voice. It would have fit, and I was really happy. And it was, I believe, the last song on the album, called Gather Round. And so it was kind of neat. And I was doing that for Jason so that I would at least say I'm living up to my end. I said I would try and talk about this album. I will do a little research, but also I will listen through all four sides of the other album to show that I'm taking this project seriously. I hope you can hear me over the music in the background. It's, again, I'm connecting all these threads. Chris's visit, the possible visit of two Japanese world travelers coming to our house, which will be very interesting. An older couple, too. And the passing of Tony. And just a lot of things that, you know, add up to living your life while you're alive and celebrating it and living your life fully while you're alive, living your life in an enriched way. You know, I don't know. I mean, we talk about you, just especially when you're younger. You can't be happy all the time. That's not the point. It's having some conviction, having some depth, having some appreciation, and that gets easier. The older you get, the appreciation for life just gets stronger because it's going faster. You know, you're losing it. It's coming to an end. So there you go. That puts the end of that piece of music. And I've gone way past my mark. So I'm going to close on that note. Thank you again for listening. There will be another one starting off on something completely different. Who knows what or where. Tomorrow is Sal's birthday, or the time I've had Sal, the second anniversary, so I'm going to give him a wash. I will not be driving to Lowell this as I did last year, but maybe something else. So, boys and girls, this is the Scarborough Dude. Happy to still be talking with you, and hope that some of you get something from this podcast that I keep putting out. Bye for now.